There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Helping us with our money is Karen Bobka, financial consultant and senior partner with Holborn Assets, here to help you today. Hello and good morning to you.
Good morning.
It's good to see you, in which is going to be my last show with you, Karen Bobka.
I know, and I think that's really sad after all these years that we've done this together. And I should say thank you very much for you know, inviting me on so often. I appreciate that.
It is happening, folks. I am going to be leaving the show and Dubai Eye. These are the last few days of my show, and it's been an absolute joy all the way along, but because I knew this was our last show together. Now, Karen, you were one of the first people I met when I came to the UAE nearly 10 years ago.
Yes.
And I was freelancing for Dubai Eye, and I started bringing you in onto shows that I was covering. And then when I came to Dubai today for the weekday slot 6 years ago, you came with me.
We
met at a party, as you do.
Yes, that's the Dubai way, isn't it?
Yeah.
And chatted, and then met somewhere else and chatted a lot more.
And I said, you know what, you should come on and share your expertise. You'd just moved to the UAE then.
I hadn't been here that long. And the first show I ever did, and I remember this, it was the old studio over by Maktoum Bridge. And I was absolutely terrified. And I think I shook the whole way through the programme. But you were lovely to me. So I appreciate that. But so what are your plans? Where are you going?
Well, I'm going to be moving to Portugal. I'm going to be spreading my wings a little bit and exploring new avenues, but taking a bit of time out to begin with. Yeah. And, you know, it's been an absolute blast, and of course I will be talking more as the days go on, but I don't want to overtake the show. But I did think I have to say it because it is for us today. Obviously you will stay with the show, but for me it's the last week on air. So yeah, Karen, we're talking about finances today. Obviously Karen's here to help you on any issues to do with your personal finances. She helps with insurance, medical insurance, when it comes to wills, savings, all different manner of things when it comes to your personal finances. But also today we've got an emphasis on women in finance, which is rather appropriate because I'll be sharing more details for you later with what Brandy Scott's up to with Jumeirah and Levelling the Playing Field, which is coming up later this month, focusing on women in finance. So you've run this poll over the last week or so. Tell me about it.
Right, it's a bit of a survey, one of those Survey Monkey things I put together to try and get some information about the situation of women in Dubai, trying to find out who's got bank accounts, who's got wills, what they know about their family finances to get a handle on it. And we had 241 respondents of many, many nationalities. So I think the results are very interesting. And in fact, the full survey can be found on my my Facebook page and some other groups. And I should mention Real Mums Dubai and British Expats Dubai have both helped me out with the answers on this. And they're interesting. So anyone can go along, do the survey and have a look for themselves.
I've done it. We've also linked through to our blog post today at DubaiEye1038.com. So check it out for yourself. Looking here at the United Nations, they published Empowerment Principles, and they're summarised as empowering women to participate fully in economic life across all sectors is essential to build stronger economies, achieve internationally agreed goals for development and sustainability, and improve the quality of life for women, men, families and communities. So the United Nations are supporting it, talking about it and highlighting the significance of empowering women in finance, with their finances in economies as well, in the workplace, etc. Later I'll be talking about an article, interesting from your field, Karen, women in the financial sector. There's not enough of you, apparently. It's not diverse enough.
We're certainly underrepresented at certain levels. It tends to be that you find women mainly in administrative roles and not so much in sales and management roles.
Why did you feel the need to talk about this and run the poll?
Well, I've seen a lot recently online and published about empowerment and empowerment for women, and I reading a lot of it, I thought the focus was a bit wrong or not as helpful as it could be. You know, a t-shirt with a slogan is not empowering. It's nice, but it's not real empowerment. And although this isn't all about money, about being empowered, it is so very important, and it's such an important thing in life that women need to have a good handle on their family finances, of where they're heading in the future. And it's not that women necessarily in a partnership have to be the ones that do everything. I'm absolutely not saying that, but you need to be aware. And it's about looking after yourself and protecting yourself. I've come across a number of cases recently where women have been divorced and separated and found themselves basically in dire straits. We don't want those situations to happen.
And recognising like you say, you always say this, you're not in home country, so it's not necessarily the same as rules applying.
Totally. There are differences here. There are things that people need to be aware of. You know, this country runs under Sharia law. We know that, and that's fine in the majority of cases. But a few people may prefer Sharia law not to apply to their finances. So there are steps that they can take to circumvent that, perfectly legitimately, of course, but just to look after yourself a little bit and to know what you can do.
So as a woman, how do you feel? How on top of you or your finances are you? And it comes through the questions in the poll. Now, just quickly, Karen, before we get into your poll, I just want to mention this as well, because it ties in rather nicely. This is an article, The Money Secrets We Don't Tell Anyone. But what it highlighted here was a woman talking about her circumstances financially. She says here that... basically, nobody in my family has ever made any money. So I grew up thinking it was not a thing. I'm the first person in my family to graduate from college, and I went to grad school. It's in the States and I make a good salary. But every single relative now thinks I'm some massive entrepreneur, you know, millionaire. And I'm certainly not. In real life, I'm just kind of sort of making it work out with a partner who freelances and a baby. So anytime I do something like with my money, like maybe I treat myself to a pair of boots or I get a pedicure, my partner's making me feel guilty about it. My family's saying, well, why don't you treat us, because you're clearly well off and wealthy and we're not. So whatever I do with my money, I end up feeling guilty. And I do wonder if that's a female thing more than a male thing.
Interesting, isn't it? Quite possibly. And I think there are different, there's certainly some different attitudes. I think traditionally maths has seen it more as a male than a female subject. I don't really know why that should be, because we're not talking about doing advanced algebra or trigonometry or anything ghastly like that. We're talking that the absolute basics of balancing a budget and knowing where you stand. But I suspect there are those who think it's somewhat unfeminine. But the fact is, money makes the world go round. And this isn't about being greedy or money grabbing in any sense. It's just having a handle and managing. And if you work hard for it, per the song, then of course you're entitled to have a few nice things with it as well. We don't work just to pay bills.
Or to spend on others.
Exactly.
Necessarily.
Exactly.
There's much talk of female empowerment when it comes to finances, personal finances. And that's what we're talking about in this hour with Karen Bobka, financial consultant and senior partner with Holborn Assets. She's here to help you on any issues, whatever gender you are, to do with your personal finances. But we are focusing on female financial empowerment off the back of this poll that Karen's been running over the last couple of weeks. Now, just quickly on that note, this lady says, ever since the day I got my first allowance, I've found money to be really stressful. I remember the disappointment when I realised the handful of trinkets I bought from a local gift shop was really just plastic rubbish I'd never use again. But I also remember feeling like I'd been missing out if I didn't buy something. A 10-year-old's lesson in financial FOMO, fear of missing out. Since then, my paycheck has risen and my stresses have grown. Am I saving enough for retirement? Should I be investing more? Will I ever be able to buy property? And of course, I'm not alone in my worries. Well, she's not. How do you feel about your personal finances? Let us know on those numbers. Karen, it's interesting, isn't it, that some people really don't feel comfortable even with money.
They don't. Or there's a lot of worries and there's a lot of sort of stress and pressure and things said out there. So people don't quite know where to turn. And obviously the industry here, financial services, that is, does not have a great reputation, often for good reason, I will say. But what I do with people is sit down with them, and it's a bit of financial there in a way, because it's talking about what you need to do and what you can do and getting a plan and getting on track. There's no magic fix. You can't just suddenly have all your retirement funding in one go. It's a slow process. But what I do is sit down with people and work out where they are, where they stand, what they can do, and slowly, slowly over time get going in the right direction. This isn't about meeting someone and flogging a savings plan. That's not proper financial planning. It's talking about all these things. And I'm fairly confident on this, that most people that I speak to will go away a little happier, knowing what they can do, knowing what they should do, and that there's a plan in place.
Well, let's look at the survey. And, the first few questions are, are you a woman, age, that sort of thing.
Just so we don't get the blokes answering this one. That was for that, to kick them out.
But we get to question number five. Which of the following categories best describes your employment status? So what were the findings? What rose to the surface for you?
What was interesting, now obviously this is based on the demographic who completed this, but say across all nationalities and ageing from 26 to 60, the majority of people, were about 50% were aged 35 to 44, but 42% of the people that answered, the women that answered, were in full-time employment. Now that I thought was interesting, because I think there is a perception here that many of us are just sitting at home doing our nails, or perhaps just going for the mani-pedis, aren't we? Rather than being full-time part of the workforce. So there's a misconception about how much work and how involved women are actually involved.
Yeah, in the UAE, yeah, that's a very good result, really.
Of that, that picks up on a later one, which I'll just jump to, which is about who's the main earner in your family. 11% of women were the main earner. Now, again, that's more, I suspect, than most people anticipate it would be here, although it's actually less than in countries like the UK and the US, where I actually found some numbers on that as well. But interesting. The other one that I thought was interesting was the percentage of women that actually are employed part-time, and that was only 5%. Now, that, I suspect, is a failing on the part of many employers here. Because I think a lot of women would love to have part-time jobs, proper jobs, but with shorter hours. And there are few companies that will facilitate that. And it's a great shame, because they're losing out on some great employees.
Yeah, that's the potential for that. It's interesting looking at that, how much detail you went into here. Employed working full-time, like you said, 41%. Employed working part-time, 5%. Self-employed, running own business with trade license, 13.92%. Self-employed small home business, just over 5%. Not employed, looking for work, 10%. Not in employment, not looking for work, 20%. Retired, just over 1%.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Unable to work due to health issues, 0% on this poll.
Yes, not in that one.
Yeah. So, okay, it's good. It's interesting, isn't it? Yeah. I wonder also about the people that choose to do a poll like this, whether the people that are more aware or have their own money or earning money would be a more attuned to do a poll like this, even though that's sort of, we kind of want the people that aren't working, looking to improve their finances, to do it.
Yeah, there was a mix. I mean, with many of the questions, there was a little option to put comment on there as well. And I'm not sure that everyone can see that, although I certainly can. And some of the comments were very interesting that actually came up there. Some of them annoyed me, actually. The attitudes. I had a question
not
about...
Not you, Karen, surely not.
Me get annoyed, as if. There was one about bank accounts, and do you have a bank account here? And there's 11% do not have any bank account of their own here. And one of the comments was, the bank advised that it would be too complicated for my husband and I to have a joint account, so we currently use an account in his name as our current and cash savings account. It's not too complicated, your bank's lazy. That's appalling. Absolutely, that made me really very, very cross indeed.
And it's no different having your own bank account or a joint bank account.
Well, ideally,
how is it more complicated?
It isn't. The bank just couldn't be bothered to do the paperwork. That's all it is. Now, I don't tend to advise that people have joint accounts. I think you should have separate accounts because of the issue with bank accounts being frozen on death and in changing jobs. And there's also a misconception that if you don't have a salary, you can't have a bank account. That's also not true. Now, there are some banks, or probably many banks, that don't want to know you, but there are a couple who are very happy to open a basic bank account for you. So it can be done. And if you've been told that it can't, that's nonsense. It's not true.
So if you don't have a bank account, listening to this, you don't have your own bank account as a woman, let me know why that is. You know, I mean, it's up to you, but I'd just be interested if you don't have your own bank account, why that is. When you're looking here at accounts, a joint bank account with your husband, 43%, your own bank account and are married, 58%, your own bank account and are single,
obviously,
just over 12% there. No bank account of your own in the UAE, like you said, 10%. And if you do not have any bank accounts in the UAE, why is that? That was 8%.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, so the comments on there, looking at what was actually said, someone said, I didn't know I could have a bank account without a job. And someone said, it's not allowed. They are. These things are permitted. It can be done. It's not that complicated. So you really should have some funds of your own. So in that awful situation, if your husband dies or if he changes job and the account is frozen, there's another account that has cash in it. That is the smart way to do things. There's not really any other costs of doing it, because these are very basic accounts that you can take out without having a salary, but they allow you to have online banking, a checkbook, and an ATM card. And that's really what you need on a day-to-day basis.
Do you think many people that don't have a bank account in the UAE, but they do, they're using off their bank accounts from home country?
Well, there are a few that say they haven't got accounts here, but they've got accounts elsewhere. But then you've got issues with the cost of currency transfers and immediate accessibility. So yeah, it's better to have something rather than nothing. And obviously I put questions in about having cash outside the country. But I think there's a convenience in having an account of your own. And I also think there's that nice bit of independence to have your own, because I think many women, and I'd be surprised if we didn't get any messages about this, saying that every time they spend something on a joint account, the husband gets notified. So whatever they do, he is tracking their movements. Really? Shouldn't have to do that.
You've got me there. I was just about to say I will miss that song, as I'm now in the middle of my last show with Keren Bobka after all these years, as I'll be moving on next week from Dubai I and Dubai. And I look up and there she is, sitting there in a full regalia as Wonder Woman. She has the mask on, the hair, she's got the star in the middle of the head there. Fantastic. We are taking photographs. We will be posting them on our social media as we speak. Yes, she is our Wonder Woman of finance. Now, Keren, you've been running this poll about empowering women and finance and their finances, and we're going to get back into that. But some messages here about finances. One from Hannah saying, we have girl boy twins, turned 5 last month, so about to start pocket money. So far, Amira is more into adding up their savings account and working out what to spend and save than her brother, but both will be brought up exactly the same way and taught budgeting from an early age. It's a vital skill.
Quite right. Good morning, Hannah. I know who you are. yeah, absolutely. And it shouldn't be any different how these things are actually taught. Now, you're talking about with the thing that Brandy's doing with the gender pay gap, and that's sort of something I'll pick up in a second. But we should at least have that the same amount of education. And things are often different at a later date, because it's obviously it's women that have the children and then mostly take the time out of their careers. And that's one of the reasons we have the pay gap. And also because women tend to have to go more for the softer careers that I'm afraid are not financially valued in the same way, which is, you know, the nursing, teaching, that kind of thing, what they term the caring professions, where the salaries aren't so high. And that's why we have these disparities.
Well, I was looking here at Financial News Women in Finance Survey 2017. Almost 750 female workers in European finance responded to this annual poll, and what was coming up out of this was that women in finance in that industry, the industry you're in, Keren, are losing the pay battle. They're also fighting back against slow pace of change. They are also talking about how men aren't so open to diversity in the financial industry. Is that ringing true to you in the financial industries?
Historically, yes, I would say so. And I think you maybe have to be a little bit tough sometimes, particularly when you're younger. I think as you get older, as I am, it gets a little bit easier to turn around and say, no, that's nonsense and that's sexist and I'm not playing that game. And it is harder earlier on. I hope it's improving. Here, there are quite a lot of female advisors, certainly at Holborn. We have a lot, and a lot of very successful ones. And I will say that Bob Parker, our CEO, is very much in favour of female advisors. Always has been.
Excellent. Okay, well, another message here. I was a scholarship student in business administration, marketing major, and as I'm a mum of two, I'm not able to find a proper part-time job or a reasonable full-time job in the UAE. It's now 9 years since I graduated. I recently studied a diploma in early childhood Montessori curriculum with distinction, and I'm still waiting to find that job. So this is in response to what we were talking about earlier, the challenges for women.
It's tough, isn't it? And I think that's why there's so many women have set up their own businesses so they can manage their working hours around their families. I think it was 14% have full trade licenses and they're running their own business professionally. And that's great. And I suspect we'll only see that increasing in time. And there's are many women who do sort of small businesses and perhaps make things and sell them through the various markets. Perfectly legitimate to do that, of course. And it's just finding a way of balancing your life, really.
And feeling, you know, that you have, I mean, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with doing that in the markets, but it's, you know, it's when people sort of say, well, go and get a hobby or go and do some volunteering. That's all great, but it's actually doing what you want to do. What is your passion? What is what you're qualified to do or you train to do or that you aspire to do? And that's what's challenging for people when they feel they're being compromised.
I think that sounds incredibly patronising as well, frankly, to say go and get a hobby or something. Really? Come on. Women are as capable as doing anything as men are. It's just traditionally women have more of a role in the home. Sometimes I think you need to kind of kick your partner and make sure that he's doing things as well so you can work as well. And this should be a partnership, shouldn't it? In this day and age, a marriage with children should be a partnership and you should each be pulling your weight and you may have different strengths and that's fine. But support all round, I think, will encourage women to be out in the workplace. And that's certainly encouraged by this country, I think, as well, with female entrepreneurship.
Yeah, and what's coming through your poll actually is coming in high of women in full-time employment.
Oh, yeah.
The UN are talking about it. Empowering women to participate fully in economic life across all sectors is essential to build stronger economies, according to the United Nations. A message here from Sam saying, great topic. Is it right? Can a wife have access to a husband's bank account if he passes away? And how complicated is that process?
Right. If someone dies and they have a bank account here, their bank account will be frozen. That's the rule. It'll happen. Man, woman, single account, joint account, accounts are frozen and they can be frozen for a very, very long time. Potentially years, not just months, and there is no guarantee that the surviving spouse would be the recipient of those funds. And that is why it is so important to have separate accounts and have money that you can access if your partner's bank account is frozen. I can't stress how much that should be right at the top of anyone's list, making sure that they have access to funds should their partner die.
And, you know, naturally, you would imagine you would have the same bank, a husband and wife, but not necessarily the case in the UAE to find what's right for you.
I would prefer people to have accounts with separate banks. I have seen cases when couples have their own accounts, but the bank has deemed them linked. And my concern there is that the linked account could then also be frozen. So I think far better to have your own account with another bank, in the knowledge that, I believe in the vast majority of cases, that to do an online dirham to dirham transfer between the banks, there's no cost for doing that. So it's not complicated.
On your poll, this is for women, about women and the empowerment in finances. You've got at number 9, have you written a will? And 29% said yes for my home country only. 4.24% said yes for the UAE only, a local will. 0.85% yes for the UAE only, a DIFC will. And yes, both home country and UAE wills, that was 8%. I don't have a will was coming in at 55%, and other at 2%.
That I find really worrying, bearing in mind that something like 78% of the people that answered this have children. And that's a reason that you need will. It doesn't matter that you don't really have anything in terms of assets. It's about looking after your children, specifying guardians for them, permanent guardians, temporary guardians. That should be your priority. Your children are the most valuable thing in your life. So it's protecting them. And again, I think there's a misunderstanding that arranging wills is terrifically complicated. It really doesn't have to be. And for most people, it's not as expensive as you think.
But if your husband has a will, you should have a will as well.
Generally, husband and wife, we arrange them at the same time, and we have this thing called a mirror will or mirror wills. So they're pretty much similar. So assets go to each other in the event of prior death, and then on down to children. And that's the general model that most people want. And you can have a few extra bits in there as well. For most people to do that, whether it's a UAE will or a home country will, you're starting at something like 3,000 dirhams. Not as much as you might think. And I have a process in place for my own clients that really streamlines this. You don't have to have multiple meetings with lawyers or anything like that. The wills are written by lawyers, but it's simpler than you think. And I will always sit down with people and work out with them the type of will that is right for them in their situation.
Right, so there's different kinds of wills accordingly.
Yep, home country, standard UAE wills, or there's the DIFC route, which is a lot more expensive. It's a belt and braces approach. It means that Sharia law will not apply to your assets. But because of the cost, it's generally people that own property here that will go down that route. So if you have minimal assets in the UAE, you may not need to do that, and you could be just paying $3,000.
So Sam's come back and said thanks, but is a joint account then the solution, or is the will a solution? As I understand, wills are not honoured except in original country.
Right, that's correct. You need to have both. Whether you need a will here depends on your personal situation. There's not a blanket answer on that one, and many people don't require them, provided that they have separate bank accounts. The bulk of their money is outside of the country, maybe in an offshore account or in a home country. It's just looking at an individual situation and seeing what works for that couple and making sure that they're set up in the optimum way, which can largely be done at negligible cost.
Karen Bodker, financial consultant and senior partner with Holborn Assets. She has her column with the national newspaper. It's a weekly column, On Your Side, and her blog, Financial UAE. All the details are up on our blog post today at dubaii1038.com/Dubai Today. Just a few more questions here, Karen. Asking if you give advice regarding the Sharia law for Muslims at Holborn.
Yes, I do. I do, most definitely. Anybody, I'll talk to anybody, really. Just be nice. That's all I ask.
Where's your office based?
The main office is in TCOM. I see most people there Mondays to Wednesdays. Occasionally, I will travel, depending on where they live, really.
And looking at the poll, one here, in the event that your husband dies and his income ceases, do you feel that you would be in a comfortable financial position? So if the worst was to happen, how would you be financially? There's something to think about. It's a sobering thought, but, you know, we need to be aware.
We do, particularly because the survey showed that in 63% of the people that answered, the husband is the main earner. So that's why that's particularly relevant here. And about a third have said they've got life cover and plans in place. So great, good on you. Another 27%-ish said they've not done enough. 14% said I would be in a precarious financial position. Those are the ones that worry me. That scares me, because I know of people where the husband has died unexpectedly. He's been young and she has been left in dire straits. We don't want that to happen to anyone. It's not that complicated or that expensive in most cases, just to put some simple plans in place to help you out.
Well, Sadiq says, excellent topic that will give people a direction to think long term. Could you share a few key points for young couples who would like to have wills in place?
It's a complex subject. It's always one that I prefer to sit down and have a chat with someone face to face over a cup of coffee to work out what they want, their background, what they've got, and what is right for them. That's not a pressure selling thing. Come and have a chat with me sometime and we'll just talk through what you need and what works for you. But if you're building up assets and if you've got children, it is an important topic to address.
Right, okay. So as a newlywed couple, you might still want to have a will in place because of the finances, yep. Financial situation.
And, you know, get yourself organised, not necessarily to do everything now, but to know where you're heading and what you want to do.
Right.
It's important.
Okay. All right then. And asking the question of women through your poll, do you think that you need a better understanding, or do you have a good understanding of your own finances?
Well, 27% said they were well informed. So yeah, fantastic. 48%, I could do with a little more knowledge. 19% that my understanding is not sufficient, and 9% said financial issues scare or worry me. Again, these are people that I want to have a chat to and reassure them and to do the right things. And what was interesting on some of this was the comments that people actually wrote down on that one, on that particular question. Someone said, my husband won't discuss with me, but I understand personal finance. Won't? Why ever not? You're supposed to be a couple. As I said at the beginning, it doesn't matter who takes the lead in these things, but it's not fair to hide issues and not tell someone what's actually being organised. And another person said, my husband controls all financial matters, which worries me. This is not deals with, but controls. Is he really controlling? That's a concern, and that's not fair. That's not a loving way to conduct a relationship.
Well, maybe, but maybe people are compliant in that they feel secure, and that it's nice that they don't have to worry about it because their partner takes care of it. And that's something that, you know, isn't how they sort of divide their roles within their marriage.
That's fair enough, but you still need to be aware. You need to know where the bank accounts are. You need to know where the savings plans are and that things are in place to protect you. You don't have to deal with it, but you need to know. That's the important point here.
Okay, there's a question here as well. Well, more of a statement, really. I'm good at saving money, but I have no idea how to do anything related to investments, retirement savings, things like that. It majorly stresses me out. Stress, again, that word's coming in, because I have a bunch of money sitting in a savings account and it's only going to lose value as time goes on. Now, this is something on the lips of many people over the last few years, particularly coming from Europe, as in, where can you put your savings that's going to, you know, gain interest, because there isn't a lot out there.
No, there isn't in bank accounts, and they're quite right, it will go backwards because the interest that you're earning is going to be less than the rate of inflation, so that's not going to do anything for you. We all still need to have a fair bit of cash to access just in case if things go wrong, but for the long term, money does need to be invested, and there are different options there, but again, it depends on the individual. There is not a one size fits all answer. Do you want to put money away on a regular basis? Do you have a lump sum that you want to invest? What's your view on risk? What's your time frame? All these factors come into play before I get anywhere close to making a recommendation to someone as what's the right thing for them. But again, it's that whole thing. Sit down, chat over a cup of coffee, very friendly and civilized. Here are your options. What do you want to do?
But the worst thing is to just ignore it, in the sense of, like, you know, if you're fearful. It doesn't mean it's going to cost you money either, necessarily, you know.
Certainly not to come and have a chat. I'll give you coffee. I'll even give you biscuits, if
okay.
you like.
Okay, so Caroline says, I follow here. I'm listening to this conversation. I have my own separate bank account and a different account to that of my husband. We also have wills in the UK, and this year had Mirror DIFC wills registered, as we have three daughters. As head of HR at a school in Dubai, where we have a split of female staff with children, I have, as a responsible employer and employee of choice, arranged a seminar from a lawyer on wills, inheritance and guardianship, so they have the knowledge to take appropriate action.
Yeah, it's important, isn't it? Now, bizarrely, I've given a number of talks about wills to legal practices of late. They've actually asked me to come in and talk to them, because it's something that I do a lot of. But, knowledge is power. That's the kind of the message that I think we're giving here today anyway, is to understand. Can't force anyone to do all these things. But, you know, I feel that my job is to tell people what their options are and what they can do, to give them that information to actually do the right things, and to help them if they want that as well.
Yeah, and you don't have to do anything that you're not comfortable with, but it's about having all the information so you can make your own choices. And as you said, knowledge is power, and if it's something you're nervous of or fearful of, then the tendency is to bury our head and not deal with it, and then it might actually cause you harm in the long run. So it's always better to face the fear. You'll feel a lot better afterwards, even if you end up doing, you don't do anything different, at least you know where you stand.
It does help. You know, these issues don't go away. They're not going to go away. As we get older, things will happen in life. People do die. It's awful. It's horrible. But you can make your life a little easier. Having all the right steps in place doesn't mean that you can have any less pain when your husband or your wife dies. But if you haven't got that financial stress that goes with it, that will make life a little simpler. And then it's looking after your children at the same time. So it doesn't have to be painful. It doesn't have to be particularly expensive. But one of my focuses, my priorities as an advisor, is to do the right things for families, to make sure that everyone is looked after and protected. And that's the whole point of this discussion today, really.
Quickly, Anna says, what is the reason behind freezing accounts after death in the UAE?
It's a local law, because Sharia law dictates how money should be distributed. So money should be distributed in accordance with the law. That's not necessarily to a spouse. It's to other family members, parents, children, etc. But it's just a UAE ruling that actually happens.
Karen Bobka, thank you very much for your time today, and for the last 9 years or so that we've been broadcasting together on Dubai Eye. You can check out Karen. She's up on our blog post today. Holborn Assets is where she operates from. She is a consultant there, financial consultant and senior partner with Holborn Assets. She'll be staying with the show, as I am departing the show and Dubai Eye in the next week. I can't even believe I'm uttering those words, but, you know, all
it's
good
sad.
Things. All good things. And spreading wings. I'll be back, and yeah, it'll all be good. But yeah, thanks, Karen, for the last 9 years. I've learned so much with you over the last
years
when it comes to finances. So yeah, thanks, Karen.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.